Sorry for a little bit of tardiness on flipping a couple of those slides. I get caught up in the song and thinking about what I'm singing about, and I forget to turn. Oh, yeah, that's right. I'm supposed to do that. Okay, so, all right. Well, I'd like to share with you a lesson this evening. I'm entitled "The Conviction of Things Not Seen." Today we woke up and kind of looked a little bit like this picture, kind of foggy, you couldn't see very far off, and you, of course, realize that Hebrews 11 and verse 1 says, "Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen." We haven't seen them. It's not tangible. We can't put our hands on it, but it's a conviction. So how do we have this faith? It's a conviction of things not seen, but faith is not blind. It's not blind faith. Sometimes we are accused of that. No, our faith is not blind. Our faith comes from hearing the Word of God. As we know, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of Christ, Romans 10 and verse 17. So we've heard about these things, and the things that we have heard has produced faith, trust in us. Very interesting passage along this line, and I think that we're shown the importance of hearing, believing, and trusting in this incident that took place after the resurrection of Jesus. In Mark chapter 16 and verses 9 through 14, it says, "Now after he had risen early on the first day of the week, he first appeared to Mary Magdalene." Verse 10 goes on to say, "She went and reported to those who had been with him." Then in verse 11, it goes on to say, "And they refused to believe it." After that, he appeared in a different form to two of them while they were walking along on their way to the country. And they went away and reported it to the others, but they did not believe them either. And afterward, he appeared to the 11 themselves as they were reclining at the table. And he reproached them for their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they did not believe those who had reported that they had seen him risen. So Mary reported this and they did not believe it. These two on the road to Emmaus, we're told, they reported it to the disciples, and they didn't believe their report either. And we see that afterward, when he appeared to the 11, he reproached them for their unbelief and their hardness of heart, because they did not believe those who had seen him after he had risen. What does that tell us? Tells us that Jesus expects us to hear the truth, to believe it, to trust it, to depend upon it. The reports of Mary Magdalene and these two disciples were valid and true. The disciples, the apostles, actually should have been expecting to hear news such as this from the things that Jesus had told them during his lifetime, and especially even the evening before his crucifixion. But they failed to believe. So our faith is not blind. Our faith comes by hearing the Word of God. And we understand that we will be judged unfaithful if we refuse to believe the report of those things that have been written. Hebrews 11 and verse 3 says, "By faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen are not made of things which are visible." Now, a reasonable person can look at the design in creation and come to the conclusion, just from human reasoning, that this didn't just happen. Somebody had to plan this. Somebody had to put it into action and build it. Debbie and I were watching we weren't really watching it. We just happened to be on. I think it was on the Discovery Channel or something. But it was a program I'd never seen before, but it was one of those, I think it was called The Repairers. And people, it was in England, and people would bring all this old stuff to these guys, and they could repair anything. They had different specialists. But the one thing that happened to see was somebody had brought in an old clock, and it was one of those that you've probably seen them. You've got a glass canister, I guess you might say, that sets over top of it. And this thing had been made long, and it was a fairly good size. I mean, the glass thing was about that big. Made out of brass, and of course, it was all tarnished and everything. It was brought to him one running. So the fella had to completely take it apart, clean it all up. Some of the gears were bent and stuff in it, and had to straighten those out. You know, and then put it all back together. And you've probably all seen a clock work or a watch work, the inside of it, and a lot of moving parts, very meticulous. You know, for somebody to say, well, that watch came about after millions of years of just stuff sitting around, and then all of a sudden there was a big bang, and it all started working. That is as foolish as somebody saying that the universe just exploded from something and just all of a sudden came into all this order, and we can measure when it's going to happen. We know when, you know, we just had a comet go by that I think it's going to be something like 800 years before it comes by again. So we're able to figure all of this stuff out. We can figure down to the minute and the second where a planet is going to be and where we're going to be in relation to that, all because it's all set in place and held in place by the power of the authority of God's Word. Now, we know that because it's revealed to us in the Word. And that's what this is saying. By faith, we understand the worlds were framed by the Word of God. Without this revelation that God spoke these things into existence, and by his word they continue to be in existence, we would just, well, we'd be where we are today to some extent. We'd just be debating among ourselves, well, did it just happen, or is there an almighty God behind all of this? In spite of revelation, people still debate that. But we do have revelation. Because revelation, we understand that God framed the worlds, and that the things which are seen were not made of the things which are visible. Evolutionists would have would do themselves well if they would take note of that fact. That the things that are made were made of things that are not visible. From nothing, God created everything. The creation account is given to us in the Word of God, Genesis 1 and 2. We are told that God made all things. We know this to be true by faith. Hebrews 3 and verse 4 reasons with us, every house is built by someone, but he who built all things is God. You drive down the street and you see a bunch of different houses, different shapes, different designs. But one thing is true about every single one of them. Somebody built that house. But he who made all things, he who built all things, is God. These houses didn't spring up out of the earth over billions of years all on their own. No, somebody built them. And the earth and the universe didn't spring up all of its own. God built it. He made it. By faith, we are convicted that Jehovah created the world. By faith, we understand that Jesus of Nazareth is Christ, the Son of God, the Word of God, made flesh. Romans chapter 1 and verse 4, it says, He was declared the Son of God with power by the resurrection from the dead, according to the Spirit of holiness, Jesus Christ, our Lord. No human witnessed the actual resurrection of Jesus. No human actually saw him come forth from the grave. No one ever reported, I saw the stone rolled away. I saw Jesus come forth out of the tomb. Even the soldiers, they were knocked out, if you will, or passed out or something when the angels came and rolled the stone away and Jesus came out of the tomb. They just went back and reported that, we kind of fell to the ground and we don't know what happened, but when we woke up, the stone was rolled away and the tomb was empty. No one saw the actual resurrection of Jesus. However, Paul, the other apostles, and more than 500 brethren at once saw the resurrected Christ. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 3 through 8. We have that record. As Paul was arguing against those who were saying there is no resurrection, his first argument was, if there is no resurrection from the dead, then Jesus isn't raised. And a lot of people saw Jesus raised after he was raised from the dead. They saw him alive after he came forth out of the grave. And that's the account of that in 1 Corinthians 15. This was evidence that proved the resurrection was presented to these people. And this evidence is recorded for our benefit. Paul was making an argument against false teachers, and the fact that he made that argument and presented this synopsis of the resurrection of Jesus, it's just one of the points of evidence that we go to say people saw Jesus alive after he was declared dead and wrapped in linen and laid to rest in his tomb. And a stone was rolled over it with a Roman seal that no one could break into the tomb. People saw him alive after that. The only conclusion is that he rose from the dead. In John 20 and verse 29, Jesus said, Because you have seen me, do you believe? Blessed are those who did not see and yet believe. To Thomas, we call him, sometimes people call him Doubting Thomas. He failed to believe the report of the other apostles. Jesus is risen, just like Mary said, just like those on the road to Emmaus said. We've seen him. And Thomas wasn't there. And Thomas says, I'm not going to believe unless I can put my hand into his side and my finger into the print of the nails. And when Jesus appeared again, and he saw Jesus, the wounded Jesus, the wounds of Jesus, he declared, My Lord and my God. To which Jesus made this response, Thomas, blessed are you because you have seen and believed, but blessed more are those who have not seen and yet believe. They'll believe the account. They'll believe the word. They'll trust it. They'll act upon it. They're convicted by the report. By faith, we understand our sins are remitted when we believe, confess Christ, repent of our sins, and are baptized, as we've outlined so many times. And as we can look again here this evening, in Mark 16 and verse 16, Jesus said, He who believes and is baptized will be saved. Matthew 10 and verse 32, Everyone therefore who shall confess me before men, I will confess before my Father who is in heaven. Acts 2 and verse 38, When those on the day of Pentecost asked, What shall we do? The divine answer was, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission, for the forgiveness of your sins. These are the words of God. given to us to believe, to be convicted by, and to act upon. Just as we didn't see the world created, just as we didn't see Jesus resurrected, just as we weren't there when Jesus spoke these words, they're recorded for us to believe and to trust and to be convicted by. There is no one who has seen their sins washed away in the waters of baptism. You remember Acts 22 and verse 16, Ananias said to Saul, "Why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord." We have a baptistry right behind us. The water is heated. Make it comfortable. If you desire to be baptized this evening, we would love to assist you in that. We've had many people baptized in this baptistry. Never once have we seen any sins floating in the water. Never once has the sin changed or the water changed color or bubbled or got colder, or it hasn't changed at all. So what is the evidence that we have that one's sins are washed away when they're baptized for the remission of their sins? This is the evidence right here. We're told by the Word of God that our sins are washed away when we obey Christ in baptism. Sufficient evidence is given to prove all of this to be true. Miracles proved the spoken word. In Mark chapter 16 and verse 20, it says that they went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them, confirming the word through the accompanying signs, or through the miracles that they performed. In other words, the apostles went out, and when the apostles went out, they didn't have the New Testament. The New Testament was written about what they did and what happened after what they did. It gives us a record of what they did. How did the people know that what they were hearing from these apostles was the truth, was the Word of God? Well, a miracle, an act of God, confirmed that the Word that they were speaking was in fact the Word of God and not merely the words of these men. Hebrews chapter 2 and verses 3 through 4, along that same line, it says, "How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard him? God also bearing witness, both with signs and wonders and with various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit, according to his own will." And so the Hebrew writer is reasoning with us and saying, the people of old didn't escape the judgment of God when they denied the pure understanding of God's word, the clear understanding of God's word. How shall we escape if we neglect the salvation that is now spoken by the Lord and given to those who heard him, and they confirm his word to us with these miracles and signs that they performed, and that these are also recorded for us to trust and put our confidence in? Jesus proved his ability to forgive sins. When Jesus forgave sins, did he ever do that? Yeah. He said, "Your sins are forgiven you." When Jesus forgave sins, did anybody see those sins go away? No. And so he was accused of blasphemy. Only God can forgive sins. That's the point he was trying to make. That's why he raised the paralytic man, a man who could not walk, A man who had to be carried everywhere on a litter. A man who had to be let down through the tiles in the roof to get into the very presence of God. This man could not walk. But he said, so that you can know that the Son of Man has the power to forgive sins, I say to you, rise and walk. And he did. No, we don't see sins washed away in the waters of baptism, but by faith we see those sins washed away in the waters of baptism because the Word of God says so. Just like this paralytic man, his sins were forgiven because Jesus said they were forgiven. And then he proved that he could forgive sins by making this man walk. The written word confirms the operation of God at baptism. What does God do when we are baptized? What takes place in heaven? What takes place in the presence of God? Colossians chapter 2, verses 11 and 12 says, in him, meaning Christ, you were also circumcised with a circumcision made without hands. You know, circumcision is a cutting away and getting rid of. He says, you were circumcised with a circumcision made without hands. It's not a physical circumcision. You, what was cut off from you was the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, the operation of this circumcision of Christ. How did that happen? When did it happen? What was the operation? Buried with him in baptism, in which you also were raised with him through faith in the working of God, who raised him from the dead. Now notice, there's a circumcision that is made without hands. It takes place when you put off the body of sins in the flesh. When did I do that? When we were buried with him, with Christ, in baptism. Remember Romans chapter 6? We are buried with him in baptism. In which, in your baptism, you were also raised with him through faith in the working of God. God did something when you were baptized. God spoke your sins forgiven, because only God can speak your sins forgiven. God cut your sins away. God blotted out your sins, as we're told in other passages. God performed this circumcision made without hands and cut your body of the sins of your flesh away when you obeyed Christ in baptism. So how do we know that God cuts our body of sin away when we are baptized? His word says so. Although we have not seen these things, we are convicted that they are true. By faith, we are convicted that Jehovah created the world. By faith, in the report and the evidence of the resurrection of Jesus, we are convicted that Jesus of Nazareth is the Christ, the Son of God. By faith, we understand and we are convicted that our sins are forgiven when we believe, repent of our sins, confess Christ, and are baptized. And again, we come back to that passage there in Mark chapter 16 and verses 9 through 14, where it was reported by Mary, it was reported by the two disciples that were on the road to Emmaus, that Jesus is risen. We have seen the risen Jesus of Nazareth. It was reported to the 11, and Thomas failed to believe. He upbraided them for their unbelief, for not accepting the report, the true report. Now here's the point that you and I need to get from this. And that is that we will be judged unfaithful if we refuse to believe the report of those things that have been written. These few things that we have examined here tonight, and everything that God reveals in His Word, when we refuse to believe, trust, act upon, we will be judged unfaithful. Certainly none of us want that. You wouldn't be here tonight if you wanted to be judged unfaithful in the presence of God. But are you here tonight and you haven't obeyed Christ in baptism? You believe that He is the Son of God, but you haven't declared your trust in Him and His death on your behalf. In giving your sin to Him and giving your life to Him, to live to His praise and glory in the practice of His revealed righteousness from this day forward. Believe the report. You believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Trust Him. Obey Him. Be baptized for the remission of your sins. And rise to walk in newness of life. If you're here tonight and a child of God, out of favor with Him and need to make correction, let us pray with you and for you. If you're subject to the invitation in any way, we'd encourage you to come as we stand and sing this song.